Will you please stand for the reading of the gospel? Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through town. A man there named Zacchaeus, a ruler among tax collectors, was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, being a short man. He couldn't because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree so he could see Jesus, who was about to pass that way. When Jesus came to that spot, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down at once. I must stay in your home today." So Zacchaeus came down at once, happy to welcome Jesus. Everyone who saw this grumbled, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone, I repay them four times as much." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this household because he too is a son of Abraham. The human one came to seek and save the lost." This is the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Well, this is a busy weekend for some folks in our church. We have about 40 or so women down at Mount Asbury on the women's retreat, and which means that the husbands that are here need to take good notes during the sermon so you can prove that you came to church today while they were away. And I'm sorry. I was a little late because Betsy's on retreat. So, and then our youth are at a Salt and Light event called Zateo, which is a great event that they have every winter, and we have a number of our young people and adults there. So I'm just delighted that we all come together in worship and that in our church family there are opportunities like those for spiritual enrichment. So once again this week, I have included some teaching notes in the bulletin, and I would invite you to follow along and to write things down as we go through this message together. This week, our theme is stewardship. And often when we talk about stewardship in the church, we focus on money. And we talk about how all that we have is a gift from God, and that God calls us to return a portion of all that we have to join in God's mission in the world. And financial giving is an important part of our spiritual growth as disciples of Jesus. But money is not the only thing God has entrusted to us. And as you see there in your notes, stewardship is caring for all that God has entrusted to us to bring glory to God. Now just think about that. Think of all that God has entrusted to us. God has entrusted God's creation to us. In Genesis 2 that we read this week, just after God forms Adam from the dust of the earth and blows breath into his nostrils, the narrator tells us that the Lord God took the human and settled him in the Garden of Eden to farm it and to take care of it. God has entrusted everything God has created to us. Not so that we can consume it for our own profit or power or pleasure. Not so that we can hoard it for ourselves without concern for anybody else, but so that we can take care of it. And take care of it in a way that all creation can enjoy the abundance of God. God has given us this world and so very much more. God has entrusted our bodies to us. In our reading from 1 Corinthians, Paul said, your body is God's temple. Take care of it. God has entrusted our time to us, our talent to us. God has entrusted our families to us, our friends to us, our co-workers to us, our neighbors to us. God has entrusted every material thing that we have to us. God has entrusted this church to us, God's word to us, God's mission to us. In Luke chapter 12 that we read this week, Jesus tells the story of a master who goes off on a journey and puts his servants in charge of the household. And he says, happy are the servants whom the master finds fulfilling their responsibility when he comes. And then Jesus says this, and let's read verse 48 of Luke 12 together. Much will be demanded from everyone who has been given much, and from the one who has been entrusted with much, even more will be asked. Now, as we focus on the word much, we realize that God has indeed entrusted us with so very much. And I want to ask you this morning, are you living as someone to whom much has been given? Are you giving as someone to whom much has been given? Or have you lost your muchness? You know, sadly, we can lose our muchness. Lewis Carroll's classic book, Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, tells of a girl named Alice who fell through a rabbit hole into a world of strange characters. And one of them is a hatter that's having a mad tea party. And he invites Alice to join in. And when she refuses, he says to Alice, you're not the same as you were before. You were much more muchier. You've lost your muchness. Now, I had to go to the Urban Dictionary to look up the definition of muchness. And the definition that I found there was the innocence and imagination that appears in the hearts of young children. As the children grow older, they become more mature and gain responsibilities, and they lose their muchness. Now, if you're around young children, you know that they have muchness. Don Carnes, sitting over there in the brown jacket, stopped by my office one day this week and was telling me about their recent visit that he and Debbie had with their grandchildren and how they took them to a breakfast buffet. And their grandchildren had never been to a breakfast buffet before. And when Don and Debbie explained to them that they could eat as much as they wanted, they got so excited. And one of them said, you mean I can have the pancakes and the waffles? Now, their mother told them that they had to eat some fruit, too. And so when they went to the buffet, they would get like 2 grapes and then a whole plate full of bacon. Don, you have taught them well. Children have muchness. But as we get older, we can have experiences in life that take our muchness away. And we can lose our enthusiasm for life. We can lose our joy in the simple things. We can lose our extravagance in giving. It seems that as we lose our muchness, we are less free with our affections, less open with our celebrations. Here in Luke chapter 19, we meet a man who has so very much by way of material things, and yet he has lost his muchness. He may have been much, much, muchier as a child, but when we meet him here in Luke 19, he's the most bitter, greedy, selfish person in all of Jericho. And his story begins, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through town. A man there named Zacchaeus, a ruler among the tax collectors, was rich, and he was trying to see who Jesus was. But being a short man, he couldn't because of the crowd. And then you know what happened. He ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree because the Lord, he wanted to see. And I'm not going to sing that song this morning. But Zacchaeus, the tax collector, got his wealth by lying and cheating and destroying the income of other people. Tax collectors back in Jesus' day turned against their own people to get revenue for the Romans. And often they took more than was due them and pocketed the extra. And we are told that Zacchaeus is the chief tax collector. So not only is he cheating people, but he's training his employees to do the same. He is the guy to hate in town, the man to avoid, the thief, the betrayer, the jerk. Now Zacchaeus knows that Jesus is coming to town and he wants to see Jesus, but the problem is he's short and Jesus is famous. And so there are large crowds of people around him. And so he climbs up in the tree. And what is it that drives Zacchaeus out on the limb? Well, he's got a lot of stuff, but his muchness has gone. And if you've made some choices or had some experiences that have taken your muchness away, then I would invite you to hear the rest of this story, the part that doesn't make it into the children's song. You see, we rediscover our muchness as we rediscover the muchness of Jesus. Notice what Jesus does with Zacchaeus. He knows the town hates him. But how does Jesus relate to Zacchaeus? Well, there are three ways he relates to him. First of all, as it says in number 4, Jesus seeks the lost. Jesus seeks the lost. When Jesus came to that spot, he looked up and he said, Zacchaeus, come down at once. I must go to your house today. Everyone is trying to get Jesus' attention. They're throwing themselves at his feet, but of all the people, Jesus singles out the most hated man in town, the lost one. And why does he pick Zacchaeus? Well, over in verse 10, Jesus tells us why. He says the human one came to seek and save the lost. Seeking and saving the lost. That's who Jesus is. It's what Jesus does. He singles out. He intently looks for those who are lost. And I imagine Zacchaeus up in that tree being so shocked. Did Jesus talk to me? And how does Jesus know my name? Jesus calls him by name. He did it in Jericho back then, and he still does it in Mechanicsburg today. Jesus knows you and me by name. He doesn't do what we pastors do when we forget somebody's name. Hey, good to see you, brother. Oh, how you doing, sister? Jesus knows our name. He speaks to us in a very personal way. When I was in high school, our youth group went on a weekend retreat to Mount Asbury, where the women have been on retreat this weekend. And our pastor did this Bible study, and in the middle of it, he said, "You know, some of you have grown up in the church, but you've never really met Jesus." Now, the pastor was talking to everybody there, but I felt in that moment like Jesus was calling me by name. Not in an audible voice, but in a way that I was so certain of his love for me. Is Jesus calling you by name? Is he seeking you out? If he is, listen. Because Jesus always wants you to rediscover your muchness. He seeks the lost. And Jesus not only seeks the lost, he also stays with the lost. In verse 6, we read that Zacchaeus came down at once, happy to welcome Jesus. Earlier, Jesus had said, "I must stay at your house today." Now, picture this. Jesus walks into town. He finds the richest man, and he says, "Hey, brother, throw me a party today." And as odd as that sounds, Jesus has a plan in doing that. You know, there are so many different ways to relate to someone these days. We can send them a text. We can send an email. We can even write a letter through the U.S. mail, perhaps call them on the phone or invite them out to lunch. But the most personal way to get to know someone is to be in their home. It's to walk around in their world. It's to see the things that they appreciate and value. It's to bring your presence to that place where they are. You know, in our world today, we too easily forget the power of being present with someone. I mean, did you ever think about the fact that if you just stopped long enough to really be with someone, you might change their life? Jesus goes to Zacchaeus' house. He eats the steak Zacchaeus puts on the grill. He sees his space. He enters his world. He brings his presence to the table. And it was probably the most hated table in all of Jericho. I mean, Jesus stays with Zacchaeus, but Luke also tells us what the rest of the crowd does. Everyone who saw this grumbled, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." They grumbled. They grumbled because they were looking at the sinner more than they were looking at the Savior. They were worried about the sinner's ability to sin instead of the Savior's ability to save. Oh, there was something so amazing about Jesus that just being with him, Zacchaeus began to rediscover what life is all about, to rediscover his muchness. Luke says he's happy to welcome Jesus. If Jesus is calling your name, invite him. If Jesus is entering your space, be happy to welcome him. This week we read these wonderful words of Jesus from over in Matthew's Gospel in the Sermon on the Mount. And let's read these together so that we hear them audibly as well as see them. Come to me, all you who are struggling hard and carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Put on my yoke and learn from me. I'm gentle and humble, and you will find rest for yourselves. My yoke is easy to bear, and my burden is light. As we come to Jesus, we rediscover our muchness. And then there's one more thing that Jesus does in this story. Jesus changes the lost. You know, this is one of the most dramatic conversion stories in all the Gospels. Look at verse 8. Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone, I repay them four times as much." Now we notice here that Zacchaeus is speaking in the present tense. He says, "I give." Not, "I will give." Not, "maybe I should give." Not, "I might give. I'm thinking about it." He says, "I give. Half of my possessions to the poor. And if I cheated anyone, I repay them four times as much." Do you know what just happened here? Zacchaeus made himself poor and made a whole lot of other people rich. He just gave away half of his entire investment portfolio to the poor and spent the other half repaying four times as much to anyone that he's cheated. Zacchaeus had spent his entire life gathering wealth, and in the end he had nothing but money to keep him company. And now he's saying, "Jesus, I'm giving it all away. I give everything as long as I can be with you." You know, it's interesting that Jesus never asked Zacchaeus to give away anything. He didn't go into his house and make a request for money. He didn't lay a guilt trip on Zacchaeus because he had a lot of stuff. Just being in his presence, he was changed. Zacchaeus's heart was changed. And when you spend time with Jesus, when you experience his muchness, it does have a way of changing you. The invitation of all the scriptures this week, including this one, is rediscover your muchness. You know, I love to think of all the people I've been blessed to know over the years of ministry who've been changed by Jesus. I love to think of Charlie Brown, not the cartoon character, but a member of First Church Hanover, where I served. For much of his life, Charlie was a pretty rough character. He had been very successful in his vocation, but he never wanted anything to do with God or the church. And then he had this defining moment, this sense of Jesus seeking him, Jesus staying with him, Jesus changing him. And by the time I became Charlie's pastor, he was such a kind and loving and generous man. I would never have believed the story that went before. And he was always telling me about these conversations he had had with people as he shared with them what Jesus had done in his life. One morning I got a call that Charlie had been rushed into surgery to repair an aneurysm. And it was sad that during the operation, Charlie had gone to be with the Lord. Later, his wife told me that she was with Charlie just before they wheeled him in, and he was still alert. And she said he looked up at the surgeon, the man that was about to operate on him, and he said, "Is it okay if I say a prayer for you?" And the surgeon agreed. And Pat recalls that Charlie gave the most beautiful prayer for this man he had just met. And those were among his last words. What a day it was for Zacchaeus. Jesus called it a day of salvation. In verse 9, we read that Jesus said, "Today salvation has come to this household because he too is a son of Abraham." Zacchaeus rediscovered his muchness. And I hope and pray that this morning, for some of you, might be your day of rediscovering your muchness. One of our readings this week was another from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. And Jesus speaks these words into our hearts. He says, "Stop collecting treasures for your own benefit on earth, where moth and rust eat them and where thieves break in and steal. Instead, collect treasures for yourselves in heaven, where moth and rust don't eat them and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Jesus invites you and me to rediscover our muchness. Jesus offers us such a rich, eternal treasure. He calls us by name. He invites himself into our space because Jesus wants to make all things new in us. And he leaves us with this question as we hang out on the limb: will you happily welcome me into your life?